Last night we mentioned something about the false and the true, and I thought of the verse in Jeremiah that says our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know the depths of the wickedness in the human heart? That's what Jeremiah asks. Of course, the Lord is saying it through him. And then he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try, I know, I see. And along with that searching, along with his knowing, he has made a way for us to be cleansed. Pure in heart, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's available to us. That's something that he wants to do for us so he can bring us into the fellowship for which he made us, fellowship with himself. And so I often think in this connection, as we mentioned about the song, I often think about our Sunday school superintendent teaching us in church from the Beatitudes. And when he came to the Beatitude that says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, he said something that I had read maybe just a little bit earlier than that. And I can just give the gist of it. I went to him later and I asked him where he got that from, if he had read the same thing I had. But he hadn't. And this is what he said about being pure in heart. It has to do with sin's alloy being purged away from us, and those strong desires that we have, unholy and unwholesome desires that we naturally have. He said, being pure in heart, to be pure in heart means to desire just one thing, the one thing that is needful, to want Jesus above all else. That's what it means to be pure in heart, or in the words of the psalm, to stay ourselves upon Jehovah. To be pure in heart is to want just one thing, the main thing, Jesus alone. And God has that for us, a life in him, free from deceit, free from all forms of wickedness and unrighteousness. He wants to work to make us like himself. So there really are people. I said there is none good, no, not one. But there are people that God makes good. They're not good in themselves, but God makes them good. We read about righteous people in the Word of God, men and women who walk in the truth, who seek the Lord, and who find him. And in today's reading, we like to look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and there you see many contrasts between the righteous and the unrighteous, those who walk in the ways of the Lord, and those who do evil, and many wonderful things in this psalm. And my focus was on verses 23 through 40. It's a 40-verse psalm. 23 through 40, I thought we could look at this morning, and then I said, no, we can't skip the beginning about trusting in the Lord and delighting in the Lord and resting in the Lord. So I'd like to read the whole psalm with you, all right? I thought maybe we could do it a little differently. It's hard here with the many different translations to read together. I think we proved that the other day when we all read two verses from whatever version we had in front of us. It was quite interesting and even amusing. And one sister told me, I just stopped. I couldn't even think when you were doing that. So this is what we'd like to do. Read in the version that you have. Just follow along. If you would read two verses, I'm going to call on somebody, a volunteer, to read two verses. And read it clearly in whatever version you have, all right? And then call on someone to read the next two verses, all right? Anyone who looks to you that they would either like to read or would do a good job reading or whatever, or maybe you think they ought to read, you call on them, okay? And that way we'll have, if we have 40 verses, we have 20 people participating in the reading. We have more than enough here, all right? So let's do, who would like to begin?
Don't be upset because of sinful people. Don't be jealous of those who did wrong. Like grass, they will dry up soon. Like green plants, they will die. They will soon die. Three? Soon.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart.
Fine. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Christina?
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry on their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and from wrath, and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. Phoebe?
For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you looked for them, they will not be found. Anne?
But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. Corinne?
But the Lord just laughs, for He sees their day of judgment coming. The wicked draw their swords and string their bows, to kill the poor and the oppressed, to slaughter those who do right. Bianca.
Their swords will pierce their own hearts, their bows will be broken. Better the poverty of the just than the great wealth of the wicked.
For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The day of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever.
13. Never mind.
They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. Sister, please.
The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Jacob.
The Lord delights in a man's way, He makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord hears. The Lord upholds him with his hand.
Stephen. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. The children will be blessed. Brother Eddie.
Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Sister Janice.
The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and the tongue talks of justice. Gosh.
The law of their God is in their hearts, their feet do not stay. The wicked lie and wait for the righteous, and turn from them down to death.
The Lord will not abandon him to his power, or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. Sister Nancy.
I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree.
yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found.
Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressions, the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Jeremy?
The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was so blessed in looking at this chapter. Of course, you know that the devotional reading for this morning, there's a verse from this chapter, but that's just one of 40. And as I looked over this chapter, I thought this really goes with what we were saying last night, the men of grace, the men of truth, the women of God versus the others who are not following the Lord, and rather they're working unrighteousness, and these contrasts, and then these commands are really so wonderful for us. They encourage our hearts. The promises, things that we have to claim and to look forward to, are just so very wonderful. I wonder if we could just continue to participate in this way. I see some references here to the way of the righteous men and women, the ways in which they walk. Let's look at a couple of those verses. Find one for me, please. I know you have the way of the wicked also, but the way of the righteous here. Well, one is not... you have to do it. Okay. 26. Yes. What does 26 say?
The just always lend generously, and the children become a blessing.
And those are the people who walk in the Lord's ways. If you go up, that's correct. I'm interested in the way, the path of the righteous. And in verse 23, you see the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, the Lord, delights in his way. Isn't that interesting? The Lord takes pleasure in his people. We read that we ought to find our delight. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who finds his delight in the law of the Lord and who meditates in it day and night. But here the Lord delights in the way of the person who is righteous and who... And he promises to make, if you have the NIV, he makes his steps firm. And the Lord protects that one who walks in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And in the NIV it says, though he stumble, he will not fall. The idea is that if you trip or if you fall, you will not be utterly cast down. There's a difference between falling flat on your face and just tripping over the carpet, right? Well, one might lead to the other. But God is keeping his own even when they stumble. And it is this. He upholds him with his hand. We're walking with the Lord. And we're leaning on him. And he is upholding us. And therefore, he doesn't let us fall as we trust in him. Let's see, there are other things about our way. It says, wait on the Lord in the in the 34th verse, and keep his way. And then verse 5, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. I believe that someone else had... Did you have one there? I heard a little... No? I think they were kind of teasing me for just going ahead. You know, we don't have all day. So, then I was thinking about the welfare of the righteous, too. How God cares for us. You see that? What does verse 4 say? Delight yourself also in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. We talked about wanting what he wants, that he changes our desires, and he will fulfill the desires of those who seek him. The Bible says that. That's his promise to us. And he gives us the desires of our hearts, and he will grant all those worthy wishes that he has placed within you. As you delight yourself in him and trust in him, I can't help but tell this. It just came to my mind right this minute. No kidding, I wasn't planning this. But long ago, when I was on the staff as a kid, or a very young person, I can't remember the exact year, but Sister Aletha and her husband, Brother Michael. I guess many of you didn't even know that Sister Aletha was married to Michael Freeman. He went to be with the Lord years ago. But anyway, they came here to camp, and we read this. And she got up and said how this verse meant so much to her, that she found that as she delighted herself in the Lord, you know, focused on him, rejoiced in all that he is and all that he means and all that he's done, that he changes us and not only grants our heart's desires, which is the way some would interpret this, but he actually gives the desire. He creates the right desire and gives the desire of in your heart. Okay, so I remember I said to myself, you know, that's probably right, but I never thought of it reading that verse. I just thought it meant what I want. If I'll delight myself in the Lord, I'll get it. Went home. This had so stirred me that I actually remembered it. I hope that happens with you. You remember something that you heard up here? I remembered it. I went home and I told my father, and he looked at me like, that's the first time you ever thought of that? You know? I just remember I thought of that when I was in my crib. You know? My father wouldn't have said that, but it was almost like that. Like, what's wrong with you? Anyway, Aletha blessed me with that thought that God can change my heart's desires as I focus on him. And really, our heart's desires get us in a lot of trouble. We're just a bundle of wants, you know. That's what the natural man is. But God giving the desire and then filling the desire with entire just abundance and full satisfaction. It's just so great. But even beyond that, he meets our needs. David says, I've been young and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And God blesses his people. And yes, they may be on different economic levels, but God takes care of his own. And he blesses them so that they can be a blessing to others. And that's what it says here. The righteous is ever merciful and lendeth, his seed is blessed. Those who walk in God's ways, as you said, Bianca, and who follow on, God blesses them and provides for them. And that's, to me, such a wonderful thing. Sometimes it seems, as Sister Nancy read, I think, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. I had a book of Bible riddles, and it says, was there ever a perfect man in the Bible? This was a kid thing also. And I, you know, of course it was the Lord Jesus. But no, it was Mark. And then it said, Psalm 37:37, Mark the perfect man. So, but it means notice him, see what makes him what he is. And then notice God's blessing on that person. Behold the upright, the end of that man is peace. Isn't that wonderful? Perfect peace and rest we heard. The man who is ever looking to the Lord, delighting himself in the Lord, the end of that man is peace. That's the future. The future for the man, there is a future for the man of peace, as it says. And then in the next verse, can't help but notice this, it says the end of the wicked. There's a contrast there. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The transgressors shall be destroyed. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength. He is their refuge, or I think it said stronghold on that one. And the Lord will help them. God helps his own in every way. He's a very present help in trouble, and he gives them what is best for them. He really does. He knows, and he will provide for all of our needs. As we read in Philippians 4:19, Paul writing to the church at Philippi, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's a great word, all your need. That would comprise everything, right? Spiritual, physical, family needs. God is able to meet them. Let's keep our eyes on him. Let's be looking to him. Let's not fret ourselves because it appears that the wicked are prospering. You find that in other passages in the Bible. David is not teaching the health and wealth gospel here. You can find in other passages where psalmists looked and others and they thought, wow, those wicked people are really prospering. They're getting way ahead of me. Why am I serving God anyway? What good is it? Look at what they have. Look at what I have or don't have. And I've given up so much for my faith in Jesus and so on. And then remember that psalmist went into the sanctuary and it says, I came into the presence of God, I beheld their end. I saw that this life is not everything. There's something beyond. And it doesn't consist in the material things, as Jesus said. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Something way, way, way more important. And that is living for Jesus, a life that is true. Walking in his way. He takes care of his own. Notice one other thing. There's a warfare against the righteous. You have that here. They'll hate you. And not just other people that are against the things of God and set themselves in opposition to the way of the righteous, but then the forces of evil will come against you, and God will be your stronghold. God will deliver you. God will help you. This is here. The wicked watch the righteous and seek to slay him. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. God looks out for his own. The evil doers shall be cut off. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 12, the wicked plot against the just and gnash upon them with their teeth. But the Lord laughs at him. The Lord laughs at that wicked man who rises up in hatred. And he thinks he can lord it over the righteous who is, the righteous are meek. But Jesus said they shall inherit the earth. The Lord sees that his day is coming, the day of the wicked. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. There, well, we just had the way and the welfare and the war against the righteous. So I have to stop with those three W's, but there are other points in here. And just a wonderful word to close with this morning is the one from here. And I haven't done this often, but I'd just like to read this. It's a short reading because with the fourth period people, I'm glad some of you will be staying and be here when I come back tomorrow, but this is it for me in meeting with you. And I've tried to point our attention to the Word of God and to His law. And I'd just like to give you this word that David knew. And he knew because God gave it to him. The law of his God, the law of his God, that's the righteous man's God, is in his heart. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. That's the 31st verse of the psalm that we just read. Here it is. Put the law, by the way, this is from Charles Spurgeon. Put the law into the heart, and the whole man is right. This is where the law should be, for then it lies like the tables of stone in the ark in the place appointed for it. In the head it puzzles, on the back it burdens, in the heart it upholds. The Lord upholds him with his hand. What a choice word is here used, the law of his God. When we know the Lord as our own God, His law becomes liberty to us. God with us in covenant makes us eager to obey His will and walk in His commands. Is the precept my Father's precept? Then I delight in it. We are here guaranteed that the obedient-hearted man shall be sustained in every step that he takes. He will do that which is right. And he shall therefore do that which is wise. Holy action is always the most prudent, though it may not at the time seem to be so. We are moving along the great high road of God's providence and grace when we keep to the way of his law. The word of God has never misled a single soul yet. Its plain directions to walk humbly, justly, lovingly, and in the fear of the Lord are as much words of wisdom to make our way prosperous as rules of holiness to keep our garments clean. He walks surely who walks righteously. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. 5 years ago, this coming Labor Day, my father went to be with the Lord, and I was here. The camp season was just ending, and had to go home then that day to take care of things. And we had a funeral service, and I can't tell you how much it meant to me on Sunday morning when I came into the. When I saw these people coming into the meeting, my Uncle Gordon and Aunt Martha, well, they had their own church. What were they doing in my church? They were supposed to be in Williamsburg that morning. They came there to encourage me. And it was a great encouragement, just their presence, and then their words and their prayers. And then there was a brother there from Germany, Brother Kniesel, whose life and ministry have blessed me in many ways. Many times his word and his example has just touched my heart and it spurred me on. But that morning he spoke to us. And because I was translating, I guess I remember it maybe better. But he turned to the book of Acts, and I just want to close with this now, and read what Paul said to the Ephesian elders in the 20th chapter. He said, I'm not going to see you anymore. And of course, they were sad about that. But then he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among the sanctified. All those who are sanctified. Well, Brother Kniesel, that was the pastor's name if I didn't say it yet, he was speaking to our congregation who had just lost their minister, who had been so faithful in declaring the Word of God. As Paul had been, I'm sure there was a similar faithfulness there, and now he was gone, but God's Word was still with us. And he said, I commend you to God, and I know he gave that word to me especially, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and keep you from stumbling and from sliding, if that law of God, the word of his grace, is in your heart. What a blessing. He'll give you the inheritance of the sanctified, of all the holy ones, and that's beyond description. Praise the Lord. So let us have the law of our God in his heart, in our hearts. How do we do that? We work at it. We read it. We meditate in it. We receive it humbly and in faith. And he keeps us from sinning. Three times in one half a week or so, we sang that song, Thy Word Have I Hid in Mine Heart, out of the hymn book. And I remember that. I said, okay, I won't do it anymore the third time because we did it so close, you know. Let's sing the chorus yet, okay? I think I can get away with that. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That I might not sin, that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. If you need the, I think it was 158 or 9. We're just singing the chorus because I have to keep my word. Okay. Let's stand. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, that I might not sin, that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin.